We're going to start this morning just a little bit differently. One of the things that I asked you some time ago is that when the God stories happen, let us know, and we'll take an opportunity to share them. And so we want to start with that this morning. We've just been talking about the fact that our Heavenly Father is a good father. And this is one of those good father taking care of his children's stories. Shane, why don't you come in and share what happened?
Sorry, I can't do that big thing. Just to fill you in on this, I got to take you back about 6 years ago, 5 to 6 years ago. 5 to 6 years ago, I pulled into the landfill, which I generally do a couple times a day. And I seen this pickup truck, and it had a trailer on the back. And before I even got close to it, I got to help that people. We got to help them. And I turned to my employee, and I says, before we do anything, we've got to help those people unload that truck. And I was kind of never had that kind of a thought before. And so we jumped out of the truck and we started unloading this and pulling this stuff off this trailer. And before I realized it, it was Grandma Ruth. And she was helping a pastor and Bill was not too happy about that. So Bill was like, Ruth, you got to unload this truck when we get to the dump. And so we just jumped out and we did it just immediately. And it was, we laughed about it and we thought, oh yeah, that's a God thing. That's kind of cool. Well, yesterday after we did the work bee, I had a trailer load of garbage. And so I'm like, oh, well, I can take it to the dump on my time on Monday. And then I said to Roxy, I says, well, let's go to town. Let's get a Coke. And she wanted Tim Hortons. So I'm like, we'll go do that. And then we'll stop by the transfer station in Stoney, which I hate going to. I absolutely hate going to the transfer station in Stoney Plain. So we went, and it just seemed to take forever. We stopped, and we got a pop, and then we had to go over to Tim Hortons. And then Roxy goes in, and because I had the trailer on, and I'm waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for her to come out. But finally she comes out. It's like, okay, yeah, this is all good. You know, we're spending time together. This is wonderful. We're going to the dump again because I don't go enough, and I have to do it on Saturday. And so then
I do counseling on romance too.
Okay, so. good. And then I get to the dump, and because I got the trailer, I got to go in the special area other than up there. Well, I get there, and the guy's got a little chain across there, and he's like, oh, no, you got to wait 2 minutes, 2 minutes, and he's goofing off in there. I don't even know what the worker was doing in there. So he's finally, we get in there, and I'm not excited or anything at this point. I'm pretty calm about the whole situation. And we dump the trailer. Well, sure enough, I'm just putting my trailer down, and all of a sudden I look over and I says, oh, there's a red, oh, that's Ruth. Well, I got to go help her. And I jumped up and I ran over, and sure enough, Bill says, you got to take the garbage. You got to go because Ruth was here helping with the work bee, and he was upset. So he's like, Ruth, we're going to the dump. We're going to get this done. And once again, God put it in place that he made the timing that we had to delays all the way so that we were there to help Grandma Ruth again at the landfill. And it's an absolute God thing, and it has been on both occasions. Like it's incredible when you just let God work. Just thank you.
Cool. Thanks, Shane.
Sure.
Dave, you're going to wonder why I'm at the dump, right? Because Dave had already offered to help us. Bill hurt his back the 1st of May and has been laying on a floor. He's got L5-S1 all squished together with horrible pain. So the garbage is growing more and more and more. So Dave had already promised, but Bill, because he isn't part of the church family, wasn't letting any of you guys help. So yesterday, you notice you like those shiny chairs,
eh? I do,
I do. Okay, but I don't get all the credit, mainly because I abandoned them at noon. It's Roxy and Denise, but we sure did a good job in my 3 hours while I was. But anyway, you know what? My heart was aching. I was really thrilled to be part, because I don't get to be part of the cleanup, but my heart was aching because today's Father's Day, and I didn't have a godly dad. He abandoned me at 5. I didn't find my dad till 37 years later. So if you're here this morning and you don't have the kind of dad that's up there, we serve an amazing Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. Right from the time of 5 years old, I knew that God loved me and He would be my daddy. He would take care of me. And if this isn't a demonstration of that 75 years later, because I'm half as old as Canada this year, I'm getting old, Terry. And that was such an amazing demonstration to me. I was on the back of that truck, and if you've been to the dump, there's this big cement wall. I do not know how he got over that wall so fast, and all of a sudden he's in the back of the truck just throwing the garbage like it's light. And I had struggled for a long time to get it in the truck. It was God, you guys. It was God. And he has been faithful every day. It is so amazing to serve Jesus. If I'm nearing the end of my life, one thing I'll tell everybody here today, it pays to serve Jesus. He is faithful. You might not have a daddy that loves you today. You might have had maybe the opposite. But God promised he would never leave us, he'd never forsake us, and you can trust God. His word is true. And I've proven it many times. We're still praying for Bill. I'm waiting for the day when he sits on these chairs that we washed yesterday. Won't that be an exciting day? Amen. When Bill comes and joins us? That'd please awesome. Pray with me for that victory. But thanks, Shane. That was amazing. I thought he leaned over the cement wall when he said there's chairs.
I'm not sure where. We're just going to point it the other direction. Before I start the message this Sunday, one of the things, other things I've said is, you know, as I'm preaching, check out what I'm saying. Make sure it's accurate. So someone came up to me after the service and said, you know, this morning you had said that the passage at the beginning of Mark that seems to refer to Isaiah also referred to Micah and Isaiah. And I can't find that verse in Micah. And so I went home and looked at it again. And yes, I had definitely misspoken. I couldn't read my own abbreviations. It's Malachi. So if you were looking at Mark chapter 1, verse 2, where it says, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. That's from Malachi 3, not from Micah. So thank you for everyone who participates in and who actually listens to what's going on Sunday morning. So that's always a good sign. This morning we're going to continue on our journey in Mark. And really the theme of Mark is come and see. Jesus continually calls people to come and see, come and be with me, come and abide with me, come and remain in me. Jesus is constantly calling people to himself. And this morning, we want to see the character of Jesus lived out. And our passage that we're going to look at is from Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 45. And we're going to read that together now. So if you have your Bibles, whether it's in paper copy or electronic, turn with me to Mark chapter 1, verse 40. And we're going to read those verses together. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he, the man, went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. That far God's word this morning. A man with leprosy, an outcast. Now, in the day and age in which we live, we don't really have a grasp of what that meant. But anybody in those days who had leprosy was a complete social outcast. The Old Testament even had laws about how those with leprosy were to act and how they could be treated. exactly as outcasts. They were to be separated from the rest of society. We live in a day and age in when often people do feel like they're outcasts, not necessarily because of something physical, but it might be. There is a wide variety that people feel like they're outcasts. And so what we want to see this morning is how Jesus responds to someone who's an outcast, someone who's outside of the bounds of normal, quote-unquote, society, and how he acts and interacts with them. Some people who are outcasts become very bitter and angry. And they're angry at everyone for the way that they've been treated, and with some justification. But this man, even though he may have felt that way, decides to come to Jesus. Decides to come and seek help from Jesus. He's heard the stories. He knows that this Jesus is someone different. Something is happening in and around his life. And the leper says, maybe there is something for me. And so as we look at this, we want to see Jesus' actions in the midst of all of this. The first thing that we see here is compassion versus power. Compassion versus power. Let's flip to the next one. Notice the man's approach to Jesus. He says, if you are willing. Literally, if you will, you can make me clean. The first thing that we see here is there is no doubt. This man comes to Jesus without a doubt. There's no doubt in his mind as to what can happen. Now, there are some people who say, well, when you pray for any kind of healing, you should never use words like, if it be your will, because then you're doubting what's going on. And that's another whole sermon topic together. And we'll look a little bit more at what might be going on with that. But this man comes and he has no doubt in what Jesus might be able to do. He recognizes that Jesus can heal him. He also recognizes that Jesus might not be willing. He recognizes that Jesus has a choice. And what we're going to talk about in just a minute is that, and there are a number of examples of the fact that there are illnesses and other things that happen in people's lives for reasons beyond what we might know and understand. But here we see that there is no doubt within this man as he comes to Jesus. And he knows that Jesus has the power. What he's not sure of is whether Jesus has the compassion, has the willingness to care for him in this particular way. And one of the things we do see throughout Scripture is that sometimes there is a greater purpose to someone's life. The next one. There's a greater purpose. Lonnie, can you go to the next one? For what's going on in a person's life. In John chapter 11, we see that Lazarus became ill and died. Jesus said, it is for God's glory. It's for God's glory. Later, he told his apostles that it was for their benefit so that they might believe that Lazarus died and then Jesus raised him. There's another man we see in John chapter 9 who endured a lifetime of blindness. And when Jesus approached this man, the question was, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he's blind? Jesus said, none of them. But he's blind so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. The work of God might be displayed in his life. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, we read the story of the fact that he had a thorn in the flesh, which we don't know what it is, whether it was a physical ailment, an emotional ailment. There's all kinds of, as you read different authors, different commentators, there's all kinds of guesses as to what this might be. But we know that Paul prayed that this thorn in the flesh would be removed from him, and it wasn't. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, that God didn't remove it from him so that he wouldn't become conceited, so that he wouldn't be, look at me. It would be a constant reminder that everything he had and all that he was because of what God had done in his life. And so we recognize often that there's a greater purpose than God's power simply being unleashed. We see here a recognition that, thirdly, that God is sovereign. He gets to decide who is healed and who is not. Is healing available in the atonement? Yes, absolutely. We believe that, we teach that, we pray for that. We accept by faith the idea that God knows what our needs are better than what we do. And sometimes he chooses not to bring healing to someone's life simply because it's going to do more for the kingdom and for that individual than healing ever would. Jesus doesn't rebuke the man for uttering the qualifying phrase, "if I am willing," but it does say that he is indignant, that he's upset. The word literally could also be translated as he snorted like a horse, like it was like, ah. It's like people don't understand, people still don't get it. He wasn't upset at the man per se. He was reacting to the idea of humanity looking at him, looking at his heavenly Father, and doubting the fact that there was compassion there for them. Jesus accepts the man's affirmation that he is in charge. He accepts the man's affirmation that he is in charge. But there's also a recognition here that if we're going to follow the pattern that Jesus set of dealing in compassion with others, we need to remember that often that call to compassion, that opportunity for compassion, is not going to come at a convenient time. It's very rare that we wake up in the morning, matter of fact, I've never had it happen, and say, okay, God, I've set aside from 2 to 3:30 this afternoon, and if someone has a need, could you please send them along then, and I'd be happy to help. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. People just show up. And so we see that Jesus had the power, but people did not understand his compassion. And yet we're going to see how that comes into action. And so now we're going to see the caring in action. What was it that Jesus actually did? How did he reach out? How did he respond to the man's plea? Well, he reached out and touched him. Now, we might think, well, that's not a big deal. I mean, we often do that. I see that happen here in conversations on Sunday morning. Someone says something, and the person beside him puts out a hand on their shoulder or gives them a hug, especially if it's a prayer request or something like that. It's the way we treat each other and react. But remember, this man had leprosy. And the whole idea behind dealing with someone who had leprosy was to stay as far away as possible. And it was something that could be transferred by touch, so you didn't touch them. It was socially unacceptable. It was something that even people then who would know Jesus, who would say, well, he touched a leper, what if he's got it, what if I get it? And yet Jesus reached out and touched the man. Now, there is a possibility that no one, except maybe someone else who had leprosy, had touched this man in years. In years. As human beings, we are wired, we are created for physical contact with people, to be loved and to be hugged. There was a couple that we knew in Regina that had adopted a little boy, and they got him when he was a year old, just about a year old. Social services had finally taken him away when there had been two or three reports and some visits to the home. But they came to the home and discovered that the mom had been gone for 4 days and had simply left the baby laying in the crib with a bunch of bottles propped around the outside. Nobody to change a diaper, nothing like that. When they got this little boy, and Deborah this morning was holding little Tegan, and Tegan was just cuddled in and snuggled in. Now, Tegan had never met Deborah before, but she recognized the grandma when she saw her, and I've seen her do that with lots of other people. She just snuggles in. This little boy, when they got him and they picked him up, he was stiff as a board. No movement, no response at all. Just held himself absolutely ramrod stiff. They said he was 4 years old before he voluntarily came to give one of them a hug. I've seen the kids around this church. Lots of people get lots of hugs. I get hugs. This little boy was 4 years old before he gave anyone a hug. We're wired to be touched. And something happens when we're not. Can you imagine what would have gone through this man's mind with the simple act that Jesus reached out and touched him? See, Jesus knows our deepest, deepest need, more even than healing and getting rid of the leprosy. This man needed to know that he was loved. That he was loved. And Jesus touched him. His motivation was compassion. His motivation was compassion. The scripture says he was filled with compassion. He demonstrated that compassion so very clearly. If the Son of Man came as a servant, then being a servant is the highest calling. And being a servant means putting ourselves in positions that others might wondering why we're doing what we're doing. But we do it anyhow because we see and respond to a need that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us about. We also see that Jesus acted without fear. He acted without fear. He didn't fear the action of laying on the hand. He knew that he was in control of that situation. He also didn't fear his critics, people who might criticize him for touching the leper. He knew that he was in control, that his heavenly Father was in control. One of the things that wasn't widely broadcasted was when the Ebola epidemic was going on in Africa, the vast majority of the frontline workers were Christians. Were Christians who stepped in and who helped people in an absolutely horrific situation. And many of the Christian believers in some of those countries died because they chose to help someone else. The message that came through that was a very powerful message. It was a message that when God is in control, no matter what happens, the outcome is for His grace, for His kingdom, and it's the best thing for us. We forget sometimes that whether God gives us 40 years or 75 years or 93 years, like my dad, 93 and going, it's a tiny little short window as far as eternity goes. It's a preparation for eternity. And then finally, we see here is that Jesus healed by the power of his word. Jesus healed by the power of his word. Jesus spoke, and this man was healed. As tender and meaningful as the touch must have been, it was the word that healed. And the scripture tells us that Jesus was the word, is the word. He is the Word. And we have to recognize the authority of Jesus in His Word. The power that cleansed the suffering man were the words of Jesus, "Be clean." We have other examples in Scripture of Jesus commanding demons to leave, of Jesus calling Lazarus to come forth. Lots of examples where there was no direct contact. It was simply the power of His word. He is complete control. One of the things that we need to remember is that this is the Word of God. And we need to be careful when we handle this book and handle the truth and the power that's in here. That's why we want to always make sure that we are ready to hear what the Spirit has to say. But if we're getting off track and someone else says, hey, when I read it, I see this, can we talk about that? To make sure that we're wrestling through the truth of this and following its truth together. His word is incredibly powerful, and it's important for us to know that and to understand that. And that's why we need to be spending time in it. Because as the Spirit directs, He often directs through His word and through the power of His word. And so we need to be aware of what that word says and how that word is calling to us in our lives. Jesus healed by the power of His word. The final thing that we see in here is that Jesus had complete understanding of the whole situation. He had complete understanding of the whole situation. His life was characterized by a calm assurance that as he followed the Father's will, things would work the way that they needed to work. He gives this man some very clear instructions, but the clear instructions are ignored. He instructed the healed man to tell no one, but to go directly to the priests and make the necessary sacrifice. Jesus knew when he healed that man what the man was going to do. He gave him the instructions anyhow. He gave the man the opportunity to respond, and the man did not respond in the way that Jesus asked him to. He did something the opposite, and it caused a chain reaction in what ministry Jesus was able to do next. And yet, he was okay with that, because he knew and understood that his Heavenly Father had a plan to work even in that. Even though it was not the right time for him to be recognized the way he was recognized, and he had asked the man with leprosy to keep it quiet for now, knowing that the word would spread in other ways, and yet he went ahead and healed the man despite that. We can understand the man's excitement about being healed. He would not only live, but he would be reunited with his family and friends. So despite the warning, he just had to tell people. One of the fortunate things today is we are not under that stricture from Jesus. As a matter of fact, he's telling us, go and tell. So that when something good happens, tell the story. Share the story. Like Grandma Ruth and Shane did this morning. Share the story. Some of the things, as we talked with Nancy, both before and after Randy's passing away, some of the lessons that they learned and the things that God did in the midst of that very, very difficult situation were amazing. And God was at work, and she's sharing the stories with people, especially those in her family who do not believe. We, in this day and age, are called to share the story. It's important, however, that we do follow God's direction. One of the things that we see that happens here is that Jesus is now no longer able to go into the towns openly, but he has to stay out in the countryside. If God gives us directions, if we know that he is leading us and guiding us, even if to our human mind it doesn't make sense, it's important that we follow those instructions. I'm one of those people who often ask the question, I wonder what would have happened if. So what would happen, what would have happened if the man had done what Jesus said? How would his ministry have been different? What would have happened instead? We are called to follow God's instructions. And perhaps this is here simply as an example of why it's important to do what Jesus says. Because it did restrict his ministry. Now, because of what was happening and because of the ministry that he had, people went out and sought him out. They didn't wait for him to come to them. They went to him. And that was okay. That was a good thing. But it's important for us to follow his instructions. Because they come out of a heart of compassion. They come out of a heart of incredible compassion. And we see his compassionate nature in everything that he has done here. So how have we seen Jesus act in this story? What have we seen? Let's flip to the next one. We have seen his sovereign control of every situation. Whether he's directly controlling or whether someone disobeys him and the situation changes, he's still in control. We've seen him exercise his divine power with deep compassion. Jesus could have healed the man from a distance. He could have not gone anywhere near him. But he started the process with a touch, knowing that this would have been as important to the man as the actual healing. He exercised his divine power with deep compassion. And when the man didn't listen to what Jesus said, Jesus understood how excited he was and why he would have been doing what he did. And so he didn't punish this man in any way. He exercised his divine power with deep compassion. And we saw that even in this, the wisdom and discretion that he had, where he knew how people were going to act and react to certain things. That's part of why he said to the man, "Don't tell anyone," because he knew people would get a little bit weirded out by the fact that Jesus had been touching lepers. And there would have been criticism, and the ministry wouldn't have gone the way it could have gone. We see Jesus exercise all these characteristics in dealing with this one situation. And that's what he calls from us. We understand that we do not have to do this in our own wisdom and in our own strength. This is the work of the Holy Spirit within us. This is understanding this book. This is being in the place where we're ready and willing to be the kind of servant who acts compassionately towards someone else. We see Jesus work in this way, and we have an opportunity to serve that way as well. It is a joy to serve a Savior who lived and worked this way and calls us to follow him, to follow his way of life and living. He is filled with compassion for us in every situation, and he wants that compassion to flow through into the lives of other people. Final slide. Let's go one more. It's a privilege to follow in the steps of Jesus to meet the needs of others by being one of God's compassionate servants. By being one of God's compassionate servants. Today is Father's Day. And it is an opportunity for us as men and for us as individuals as a whole to understand that God expects us, God gives us the privilege, not just expects us, but God gives us the privilege to live lives of compassion towards other people. And it's amazing what happens when we respond to people in compassionate ways. Does everybody respond positively? No. Sometimes they're not going to believe it's actually happening, or they've been hurt so many times by so many people in so many different ways that they're just leery of anybody who's actually showing them some compassion. And so sometimes we may have to respond that way two or three or four or more times, or just keep showing them love and compassion until the Spirit breaks through into their hearts and lives. But we have a Savior who set the example for us. And if we're willing to follow him and do as he did, it's amazing what kind of an impact we can have for the kingdom. And what a privilege it is when we get to be involved in that kind of process. One of the most enjoyable things about being a pastor is having those difficult conversations with someone and seeing life change take place as the Spirit begins to work in somebody's life. It's just fun. It's just fun to see that the power of God makes such an incredible difference in people's lives. And you know what? That's not restricted to pastors. It's not restricted to Christian counselors. That's for each and every one of us in the day-to-day situations that we're in. And so I want to encourage you with that this morning. Take a look at this story. Continue to read through the book of Mark. See how he dealt with people in such incredibly compassionate ways. And simply open your heart and your mind and your life to treating those around you with that same kind of compassion, and see where God might take you and those around you next. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time that we could share together this morning. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are a compassionate God. That in the midst of all the incredible creative power that you have, where the universe came into existence through your spoken word, Lord, that you chose to touch a leper. And it simply reminds us that no matter what's going on in our lives, you're there, willing to fill us with your Spirit, willing to be that Savior who makes your presence so real in our lives. We know you're there.